Today was going to be the first day of school for New York City's more than 1 million public school kids. But the beginning of remote learning has been pushed back to next week. So if you're feeling like you're caught in this endless summer loop, we have some ideas with what you can do to fill the time. By we, I mean WNYC culture editor Jennifer Vanasco joins us every week for our segment. We're once again happy to call The Get Out. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Allison.
So camps, the ones that did exist, they've wrapped up. Remote schooling isn't for a little bit. This is a really tough week for New York City parents who have kids in the public school system.
But are
some classic fall activities a go still or no?
Yeah, they are. I must say I have so much sympathy for all parents in my situation also. I have a six-year-old, and now that the beaches are closed and camps are closed and none of the children's museums are opening because they're so interactive. But last week, Governor Cuomo issued guidance for activities like apple picking and corn mazes and even indoor haunted houses, which honestly, I was really surprised by. Hmm. Hay rides are actually considered public transportation, so they're totally okay, right? I thought that was so funny. Very sadly, their petting zoos are not allowed, and this is like a deep, deep tragedy for my family. I really love a good petting zoo, as does my son.
Well, you know, I know that you and your son had an amazing outing, though. You were able to go because you posted a picture of it. I'm jumping this a little bit because you mentioned your son.
Oh, I did. But before that, can we talk about the other thing?
Because, oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. Before the picture, because, yes, I want to talk about the picture, except I do really want to say that, like, one recommendation I have for people, because one of my favorite things ever, a very classic fall thing to do, opens this Sunday. It's the Amazing Maze at the Queens County Farm. It's this 3-acre corn maze. It's very tricky, but there's folks who will help you if you get lost. And in the end, you get to go to this viewing platform and, like, see the whole thing. This year, you're going to need time tickets. The pass will be wider, though, so there's more social distancing. Workers are going to monitor how many people are in the maze. You don't have to worry about it being too crowded. There's also going to be New Orleans-style music, so they're going to have these, like, crop circles so you won't infringe on anybody else's space. Bring a chair. There's going to be a farm stand with seasonal produce. And I just wanted to say, too, that I know so many people have their favorite Long Island or Westchester or Hudson Valley, like, apple picking places. And I would really love to hear from listeners about their favorites. You can tweet or DM me, and maybe we'll include them in a future Get Out, because I always really want to know about that stuff.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Minard Farms. Minard and Wilco. That's where I do my apple picking. And by apple picking, I mean apple cider donut eating.
And where are they? Are they north or east?
New Paltz and I want to say Highland in the Hudson Valley.
I have to check those out.
Yeah, they're really good ones. And they have hay rides and apple cider donuts. The most important thing.
That's the important thing. I agree.
My guest is WNYC culture editor Jennifer Vanasco. And if you follow Jay on social media, every now and again, she'll post a very cute picture of things she does with her little one out and about. And you guys, you went to the American Museum of Natural History. Tell us what the trip was like. Give us the details, some tips for families who want to go.
Oh, it was so great. This is definitely one of my son's very, very favorite things to do in the city. We went Saturday during member preview days. The reduced capacity was really amazing. Like, there was just us. The picture I posted was in the African animals exhibit. There was just us in that whole hall with the elephants and the hyenas. And that never happens because it's such a popular museum. One thing that did strike me about going is that they have a temperature taker I haven't seen before. It's kind of like a camera where you stand on a dot and it feels like they take your picture. You might want to give your heads up about that, kids a heads up about that, because it's a little weird. But the museum opened to everyone yesterday, and some exhibits, like the Hall of Gems, those are still closed for a major renovation. They haven't opened early, which I'm sad about. But two really, really wonderful exhibits are up. I don't know if you've seen them, but one is amazing. It's T-Rex, the ultimate predator. Hmm. And it goes through basically everything scientists know about the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And it has the thing that I think makes it really spectacular is it has these incredible life-size models. So not just the bones, but what a T-Rex would actually look like. And they think now that juvenile T-Rexes had feathers, which makes them feel really bird-like. I know. And seeing feathers on a T-Rex felt really mind-blowing to me. One other exhibit I want to point out, it opened just before the mid-March COVID closing, so a lot of people probably have not seen it. It's called The Nature of Color, And that talks about how we usually take color for granted as just part of our everyday lives, but it's so vital to so many plants. Think like how flowers attract bees or animals. You can think about camouflage. And even, and this kind of surprised me to think about, but people who use color to communicate in art and fashion, other ways, flags. But best of all, there is a glass case with live, brightly colored poison dart frogs. It's of course not a petting zoo situation. You can't pet the poison dart frogs. But I do love exhibits with live animals. And at the very end, probably the most special part of this exhibit, there's a final gallery with more than 100 portraits of people from all over the world by Brazilian photographer Angelica Das. And those portraits have 100 different skin tones. It's really wonderful.
That's great. And I want to circle back to the temperature takers, because I took your advice and I went to the Museum of Modern Art last week.
You did.
And that was pretty wild. It's pretty wild when it's a little sci-fi. I think that was really good advice if you're taking your kids to any of these museums, because everybody's masked up and you have to stand here and there. And then, I mean, they have it very orderly and everybody's super polite. But I think if a little kid might get scared by those giant temperature taker things, they're a little.
Right. Because it's like this big kind of space age looky contraption, yeah. Kind of. And it's all different. Like, it is all a little bit different. Like, it was confusing for us, like which line you have to be in and stop here and stop there. So it is good for kids to just know that it's going to be a little bit different.
Yesterday we spoke to the curators of Hope Wanted, the new outdoor exhibit at the New York Historical Society, which reopens tomorrow. What else can you tell us about what's going on there?
So just quickly for listeners who missed it yesterday, in the rear courtyard, you can see these very large, very moving photographs of people in our city during quarantine. I like that for kids because I feel like it already feels kind of like history. And so you can talk to them about, like, you know, remember what that was like? Like, what's changed since then? But in general, I love this museum for older kids. It has this really, really special right now multimedia exhibit called Women March. And a lot of this exhibit is about how Black and white women secured the right to vote. Of course, we're at the 100th anniversary of suffrage. But the thing about it is it has these really cool details. Like, there's a whole bunch of wedding rings because at the time, women didn't have access to money. So for a lot of them, all they had of value was their wedding rings. So they put their rings in a collection plate, and that's how they raised money for suffrage. I thought that was nuts, right? The exhibit also goes through other collective action that women have taken. It goes through it as video of like the 1970s women's liberation marches, the post-Trump women's marches. But there's just so much else here. It's like a treasure house of riches. There's this exhibit on Bill Graham and the history of rock and roll, which is super fun. It has this really delicious soundtrack. There's a new permanent gallery where if your kids have been curious about like what's going on with the election, they can sit behind this model behind the desk of the Oval Office as if they are the president, to give them like future aspirations. And then of course tomorrow, it's September 11th. Tomorrow is when they're opening. And so they're going to have a special gallery of World Trade Center photos stretching from when the buildings were built in the 1970s to the emptiness they left behind after they fell. Plus photos from that day are going to be projected on the walls. And you've probably seen those photos before. They're culled from the Here's New York exhibit that was downtown shortly after 9/11. I always find those really tough to look at, but also really super important. So all that's there.
Let's take it outside. What kind of outside things can we do?
So Saturday is City of Water Day, which is super cool. It's an annual event that celebrates water as a natural resource. It's the 13th year, but of course this year is different. So all events are virtual or solo or socially distanced on water activities or outdoor public art exhibits. One especially cool thing takes place in the Seaport District, which is of course by South Street Seaport. I've actually never heard it called that, but I guess that's what it's called now. It's public art that's looking at what's called the blue line, which is the future high tide line, which is a little bit scary. I know. And the idea is to show the risk we face from future storms. And one of the things, there's this LED message board, like the ones you see on highways, and it flashes messages like, goodbye, Arctic ice, which is like flip and funny in the way it's done, but it's also so heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And then there's also going to be video projections from Sarah Cameron Sunda that show a couple of her long-term projects. They're really eerie. These video compilations, you see people standing near the water or being slowly submerged by water. But also, really, there are dozens of neighborhoods in New York and New Jersey that are going to have their own events on Saturday. There's wetland restoration projects. There's community rowing and kayaking opportunities. In Brooklyn, there's this, like, this very, very Brooklyn event. It's a post-apocalyptic disco punk brass band.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Right? Playing all original music. And they're going to be playing that original music from canoes floating in the Gowanus Canal. So, yeah. I mean, who can miss it? And so you can find someplace near you at waterfrontalliance.org, or, you know, I'll tweet it out.
Okay, you've got 45 seconds for one last thing. Your choice. Dana's choice.
Okay, I'm going to choose Reverberation. It's at Brooklyn Bridge Park's Pier 1. It's these five 4-foot-tall bright orange bells. They kind of look like buoys to me. And you can ring them. You swing this chain. They all have a little slightly different tone. So you can, all of you can ring them. Like, a bunch of people can ring them at once. And this is beautiful music. I'm really a sucker for bells in the water. So this is basically the perfect art installation for me.
And you finished early. Just shout out right. Real quick the... Oh no, we'll save it for next time. I want to talk about the one that we keep not getting to. We're going to make it the first thing next time Chelsea.
We're going to tease our audience and say, like, yes, you need to tune in next week.
You do need to tune in next week. WNYC's Jennifer Vanasco, she is our culture editor. You can find links to all of her suggestions on her Twitter page. Follow her at Jennifer Vanasco, and she'll be back next week with more of the Get Out. Bye, Jay.
Bye, Allison.